For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Here we go. Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice. King of OX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Back at it as we get into hour number two. It is a Graybar Sports Open line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. This hour, we are going to talk with Tamar Scher. We're going to do that in about 10, 15 minutes or so. Around 7:30, 7:35, we'll give you an opportunity to share your thoughts or give me your questions on the Cardinals. You'll be able to do that in multiple ways, including sending text messages or giving us a call at 314-436-7900, tweeting at me at Matt Pauly on air. But our new fun thing is if you are using the Odyssey app, you can press the microphone button and you can leave a voice message for us. And we will play some of those voice messages again coming up just after the bottom of the hour. So hopefully you do that. Cardinals win today. What a weird week. What a really weird week for the Cardinals and all the things that happened. You think about them coming off that series against the Reds. They got swept in three mostly non-competitive games. And that kind of felt like the low moment of the year. You're thinking going into that Dodgers series, okay, this is an opportunity for them to maybe make some roster changes or something. They don't. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers, albeit very competitive games that they lose. They lose 2 one-run games against the Dodgers. So that series could have easily swung a different direction. If it's the middle of the season and not the end of the season, I don't think anybody's going to be upset about how they play that series against the Dodgers. It's just the fact that they're at a point right now where they can't afford any losses. Any potential win can't be a potential win. It has to be an actual win. So that series ends, and then they go into the Brewers series, and they do make changes. They make the decision to send down Jordan Walker after the 11 at-bats, or the 12 at-bats, whatever it was. They make the decision to give an outright release to Brandon Crawford, who had been a good veteran on this club. They bring Matt Carpenter back off the injured list, and they bring Lucan Baker in as a guy who can bring a little bit of right-handed thump into the situation. You lose that first game against the Brewers. What, Nolan Gorman again had a tough at-bat to finish that off, had a tough day, and they finally say enough is enough on Nolan Gorman, and they send him to AAA to try to fix his swing, and they bring Jose Fermin back. It has just been, there's been a lot that has happened and a lot to unpack, and I think the most two interesting things in all of this is how the team is dealing with Jordan Walker and how the team is dealing with Nolan Gorman. And what makes these two things the most interesting things about this is those of every name that I just mentioned, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody, but of all the names that I just mentioned, Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker are the two most important names in that group when it comes to the Cardinals' future. They got to find a way to get Nolan Gorman right. He is a guy who can play second base and hit 30 home runs. That doesn't really exist. You gotta find a way to get that going. They don't have enough power, and Nolan Gorman has a ton of power. He just has to make contact with the baseball, and he was having a really hard time with that. And then you feel bad for Jordan Walker that he got such a short stint with the team because he was finally performing at a pretty high level at Memphis, and he gets plucked out of Memphis and barely gets an opportunity, doesn't play in 2 of the 6 games that he's there, only starts 3 of them. They decide they're going to use him as a platoon-type guy, even despite the fact that some of his career numbers, when you look at it lefty-righty, he's got some reverse splits when it comes to that, but it just felt weird. It felt odd. And then I don't think there was a disconnect between John Mozeliak and Oliver Marmol on all of this. I think it was just the plan was always that you bring Walker up when you're going to face some lefties over a few day span. And if he doesn't do anything impressive, you got the chance to return him. No big deal. But it is very clear that John Mozeliak did not want to have Jordan Walker sitting on the bench at the major league level for an extended amount of time. And that goes along with his track record. You go look at every decision that he has made when it comes to young players. It is very clear that one of his philosophies, one of his core beliefs, is that young players should not just be sitting on the bench. That it is better for them to be getting everyday playing time, everyday at-bats at AAA. So they eventually returned Jordan Walker. So I think the reason some people felt like that there was a disconnect between Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak was when Walker showed up, the role that he was going to be in as a platoon guy doesn't really fit the idea of what of John Mozeliak's baseball philosophy when it comes to young players. So yes, it feels like in that moment that there is a conflict in functional beliefs. My thought process here is that every game matters so much right now for this team, especially it does right now. But I mean, the team was in such a tough spot at that moment that they were willing to try just about anything to get a spark, to try to steal a win here or there, like do any of those things. And if it meant stepping away from your philosophy on young players need to be playing every day for a 6-game period, so be it. And it was never going to be a long-term thing. At some point, Walker was either going to perform to a level where he was back as an everyday player with the Cardinals, or he was back with Memphis as an everyday guy. So I understand, like, if you're just watching what went on and you hear Oliver Marmol talk about the fact that Jordan Walker is going to be a platoon guy, and then you hear John Mozeliak talk about the fact that he doesn't want Walker sitting on the bench. It does. It absolutely does feel like there is a conflict and there is a disagreement there. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Mo and Ali are completely on the same page on absolutely everything or even on this thing. But I do think, I would contend that got a little bit overblown and it was not the situation that some people are making it out to be. But then so Walker's back down. When Walker came up, part of the reason that they wanted him was because they wanted a guy with the right-handed bat who could also play the outfield. That was the thing when comparing him against Luke and Baker. But it wasn't Walker kind of looked the same, just in the sense that he wasn't making a lot of contact. He wasn't driving the ball. He wasn't lifting in the air. And you had to give an opportunity at some point to Luke and Baker. You got a guy who's hit 30 home runs at AAA each of the last two seasons and can go out there and just mash against lefties, an area where the Cardinals are not especially good at. You have to take advantage of that. And that's what they've been able to do. And we saw Baker hit the home run yesterday, which was one of the cooler moments. The two really cool moments yesterday. The Arenado Grand Slam, but that Baker home run, that was a really cool moment as well. The Gorman thing. This is not an organization that right now has the reputation for fixing players and making players the best version of themselves. And whenever I say stuff like that, there's always the cynics that come out and say, well, they don't make anybody better. That's not true. That's not true. There are players that they have made better. There are players that they've had success with. There are still good baseball people in this organization. But I also think it's true that, no, they are not the best organization. They are not the organization that has the track record right now of making players the best version of themselves and being able to fix players. And that is the challenge of this team right now, because when it comes to Walker, and when it comes to Gorman, these two guys are too important. If you want to be successful in Major League Baseball, especially with the type of payroll that the Cardinals are going to carry, and that's not a shot at their payroll. I have no problem with the amount of money that they spend. That doesn't mean they can't go spend more, but I've never thought payroll is the issue with the Cardinals. I've always thought how you spend that money and how you develop players and how you draft players and the select players, and those are the issues. It's not there's teams that spend less money than the Cardinals that have had more success. So I'm not taking an issue with the Cardinals spending. But they need young, controllable players to get to their potential. And Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker have to be two middle-of-the-order run producers. And this year has been a step back for each of those guys. And I don't know, I really don't think we're going to see Jordan Walker again this year. When John Mozeliak spoke this past week, he spoke a lot about what they want him to do in the offseason. So to me, that feels like they're already looking next year. I don't know if something happens with Gorman. Jose Fermin might have something to say about that, and he got the double yesterday, and good for him. But it has just been a really, really interesting, unique week for the Cardinals, where it was busy. It was a lot of stuff happened on an everyday basis. We'll talk about some more of those things with Tamar Scher. She is going to join us in just a moment or so on a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Once again, Matt Pauley on King of...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
OX.
Continuing on here on a Thursday night, Cardinals baseball earlier today, they knocked off the Brewers, taking 2 of 3 tomorrow. They are going to open up a weekend series in Minnesota against the Twins. 7:10 first pitch tomorrow. Our coverage will begin at 6:15. We go to the guest line, bring in one of our favorite people in the world. You see her on Channel 4 KMOV. She is a sports anchor and reporter. Her name is Tamar Scher. You follow her on Twitter at Tamar_SHER. Tamar, always good to talk to you. How are you?
I say the same thing about you, Matt Pauley. You're one of my favorite people in the world. So thanks for that intro. I'm great. Just happy to be talking about a Cardinals winner. I love it. I love the win against the Brewers, a series win at that. So it should be a little bit more of a happy day today for us.
It is. And I thought yesterday's win was so special with the Nolan Arenado Grand Slam. But in many ways, for that win to really matter, they had to follow that up with a win today. So yesterday wasn't just something that happened in a series loss. So today was huge, I thought.
And this is what speaks volumes. Nolan Arenado hits a walk-off grand slam in the 10th inning, and yet still, of course, he had the emotions. He's happy because, quite frankly, he needed that in the literal worst way after the season he's having. And all he wanted to say post-game is that he just wants the consistency. He's craving it, as happy as he was for the team to provide that spark. He said, I don't want to think about it being a spark. I just want us to keep doing this and keep going. Well, look at what happened today. Victor Scott II able to go off and have himself a day, get his career-high 3 hits, and be able to thrive. And he credits, hey, I got that spark from my leader in the clubhouse, Nolan Arenado, that pushed us into that, but now let's continue to see this roll on and get more of a consistent vibe now that they know they have the confidence that they can beat the division leaders and the Milwaukee Brewers.
You know, it's interesting, and you took a screenshot of something that he put on Instagram and tweeted it out earlier today. He put out on Instagram a photo of him and Lars Nootbaar at a table eating with Pedro Páez and Mason Wynn, and I believe that photo was from last night. I'll tell you what, tomorrow I get phone calls and text messages all the time with people not thinking that Nolan Arenado's a leader and not thinking that he's good for young players and that he's all about himself and stuff about his body language. I think that photo that you tweeted out that he had, you know, put on Instagram says a lot about what he does when it comes to younger players.
That's exactly why I shared it, Matt, because as soon as I saw that on Instagram, I go, that's the guy you want in your clubhouse. Sure, yeah, him and Goldie both have not had the years that they want to have. They are frustrated, and they can be the first to tell you they're the most frustrated of anyone that they can't come through. And yet still, Nolan Arenado celebrates by being with his teammates and sharing a meal and posting it out. And that's what he wants people to see. He's not doing that for the clicks or likes. He's doing it because this is what he's doing after a walk-off grand slam, is he is helping and just being friends with that younger generation of talent to say, this is the Cardinal way. This is the Cardinal way. We are tight-knit, and we are this group that we come to the clubhouse every day rooting each other on. And to be quite honest, I get that vibe when I go in the clubhouse. And you and I are both there together, Matt, and I see these guys hanging out and feeling comfortable with one another. And that's what you want at the end of the day. Yeah, the numbers need to be there as well. But how does this team interact behind closed doors? Nolan Arenado put that out for the world to see.
Mike Claiborne and I will talk about this on occasion, how it feels like something that's lost in baseball is just the people sticking around the clubhouse and having a meal together and just talking baseball. And it feels like, not to sound like, you know, an old guy here, but sometimes it feels like as technology becomes a bigger part of people's lives, they just want to get back to their phones and get out the door. So I would think for Cardinals fans, it should be refreshing that they know that last night was a late night and today was an early day back at the ballpark, but there were a bunch of guys sitting around the table eating dinner and talking baseball.
Right. And here's the thing, too, that you can't lose sight of. Their post-game interviews, their pre-game interviews, they're not satisfied. Yeah, they had a walk-off winner. That's exciting. That's great. It was a grand slam, no less. But the fact of the matter is they still are having these conversations of what are we going to do to get better? We are not satisfied. Okay, yeah, we string two wins together, but it's about pushing forward and continuing this because, as Alec Burleson said today, you have to win close to all of the next few games in order to be kept in the conversation. So that's more of what it's about, too, is, yeah, sure, we find those happy moments and we find those personal moments that we enjoy as baseball fans to see, but it's about what they do with that and how they channel that. And I'm not getting a vibe that, oh, yep, we won a game, we're satisfied. No, it's about continuing that consistency.
They're 4.5 back right now in the wild card. We're talking with Tamar Scher from Channel 4. They'll either be 4 or 5 back, depending on what happens with Braves-Phillies tonight. Braves have a 2-1 lead midway through the fifth, so Cardinals fans should be Phillies fans. But in addition to catching the Braves, they got to jump over the Giants. They got to jump over the Mets. It's not insurmountable, but Tamar, it's going to take a lot of winning over the next few weeks if they want to find themselves legitimately back in this race.
Whew, and I'm looking at the schedule, Matt. It is not easy. They know it's not easy. You got the Twins, the Padres, the Yankees. Again, you get the Brewers. That's a way on the road, though. So they know that it is a tough stretch of games, but Matt, they just beat the Milwaukee Brewers in a home series. And you got to think that that is such an exciting spark to say, hey, we can beat the division leader. Don't stop now. Continue to push forward and know that you can't be intimidated by the tough stretch ahead. But yeah, it's going to be a tough stretch. They know that. I think they've admitted that. But it's how can the roster that's set right now, how can this lineup every day come in and out wanting to be the best versions of themselves, stringing together good at-bats? I know they said, yeah, this is a great shutout win. It's their 7th of the season. Still, they didn't get those runs until the 7th inning and waited, Alex, saying they want to have that production earlier. So there are still hurdles and ways to go, but every day I'm seeing different positives we can take away from how they can, if they can string along wins at the end of the season, how they could put themselves in a better position.
Let's get into the big news that you guys at KMOV announced today. You're launching another channel. It's called Matrix Midwest. It's a sports and entertainment network. It's available on over-the-air television in addition to select cable systems. You've already announced a show that you guys are going to be doing for Mizzou football with pre- and post-game coverage. You, along with Brian and Jacob, the sports team, are going to be joined by Justin Gage. I know there's other things that are going to be potentially happening down the line, but this is quite the undertaking, and this is going to be really good for sports fans in St. Louis and really across Missouri.
Yes, sir. Well, it is actually the only free and independent sports and entertainment network, so that's something we're proud to be able to say. And like you mentioned, Mizzou Live, it'll be pre- and post-games for every single Mizzou game this season. So I'll be traveling. Brian, Jacob will both be traveling as well, and we'll be with the team getting exclusive one-on-ones with Eli Drinkwitz, head coach of the Tigers. We'll be getting one-on-ones with all the players who make up this incredible team. It's going to be a season unlike any other. Mizzou Tigers are hot this year. We are so excited to be their partners here in St. Louis, and it'll be broadcast actually throughout major cities in Missouri. So it's not just the St. Louis market that gets this access and gets these great pre- and post-game shows. So we also have Good Morning Football Overtime that'll be on Matrix Midwest. So a lot of good sports content for the St. Louis viewers and beyond in all Missouri.
It feels like right now we're in a kind of at a flux point when it comes to sports on TV and just wherever this industry is going to end up going. And it's a really good time for you guys to be starting this, and I'm excited to see everything that's going to come of this moving forward.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled. You say free, you say sports, and I'm just going to tell you that makes me very happy. So I love this, and I can't wait to have that Mizzou partnership to be able to launch it in a big way. And we also have that Chiefs preseason game going on right now in Matrix Midwest, so it is fully functioning. Matt, I appreciate you for giving us a little shout out.
Yeah, absolutely. And folks should remember, now if you've got Spectrum Charter Cable, you can get it on there. But if you don't, or maybe you're one of those cord cutters, all you got to do is plug one of those antennas back into the back of your TV, and this thing's going to come in on channel 32.
You're right. Get that antenna up, and you can get free sports television, Matrix Midwest.
This is my little secret that I tell people. If you have cable, they compress the picture on just cable channels. So whenever I am watching games that are on network TV, I switch off of my cable and I instead go to my antenna because the picture is that much better on the antenna.
You're speaking exactly like the people in this building. I'm in the KMOV building right now, and that's exactly what we say. It's actually better for your viewership to be able to work off an antenna, and people are confused of how that works. Well, it's an easy Google search and look it up online, and then it's a good bang for your buck because you'll be able to get a lot of great stations, including Matrix Midwest, but you have that access, and it's a high-definition television.
She is Tamar Sher. You see her on Channel 4. Now you see her on Matrix Midwest as well. Follow her on Twitter at Tamar_Sher, S-H-E-R. Tamar, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And congratulations to everybody in your building for putting together the channel and already getting this Mizzou show and everything that's to come in the future.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, very good. That's Tamar Sher joining us here on the program. We'll take a break, and when we come back, it's your opportunity to chime in about the Cardinals. So this is where we'll open up the phones, we'll open up the text line, we'll open up the Twitter machine, and we'll open up the voice messages. So here's how you can get in contact with us. If you want to call, the number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's also how you text in, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air, or our new thing, if you are listening on the Odyssey app, click the microphone button and you can leave a voice message and we will play those back. So try that out. Just have a little bit of fun. We're all trying this out for the first time. Leave me a voice message on the Odyssey app by pressing the microphone button, and we'll play some of those coming up in just a moment here on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Have you for about 20 more minutes. We'll take you till 8 o'clock this evening. Starting at 8 o'clock, we will have coverage from Chicago and the Democratic National Convention as Kamala Harris is going to accept the Democratic nomination for president this evening. So that's all going to get started at 8 o'clock. But we got about 20 more minutes left here on this program. If you want to join in, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, or leaving a voice message. Call or text 314-436-7900. Tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air. And we've got the voice messaging option now available for you on the Odyssey app. So this is super easy. All you got to do is press the microphone button, record yourself, and it comes right to our studio. Let's start with those. So again, on days where the Cardinals play weekday day games, we don't do the full extended extra inning show. Always try to give you the opportunity to be able to chime in like it's after the game on the post game show. So that's what we're doing right now. Let's hear our first message from Neil.
Hey, it is great to see the boys put two in a row together. I think going forward, what's most important for them is to continue to believe that they can do it. Because we do have the talent on this team. We just have to extract that talent and maximize and take advantage. I like the idea of perhaps imposing our will upon the other teams a little bit by running the bases in key situations.
All right, Neil, appreciate the voice message. And I think something that happened today, that if some version of it continues on, would allow them to be more active on the bases, is what we saw from Victor Scott II, where he goes 3-for-4 and he does have a stolen base. He's got to find a way to get on. He, you know, there are some players that it is important when they come up to the plate that they have the opportunity to hit a double or hit the ball over the wall. That's all great with Victor Scott, but more important than anything else is just get on base. However you need to do it, get on base and start running around a little bit, and I think it will impact things from a positive way. So that was really good today to see Victor Scott go 3-for-4. Again, two games doesn't make a season. There's still so much more work to do, but it's nice to kind of have a positive vibe about this team after they were in a tough spot for a while. Let's grab our next voice message. Andy came in via the Odyssey app.
What the Cardinals did the last 2 days is great, but I can't get on board with getting excited about a playoff race unless they go on about a 10-game winning streak.
All right, Andy, certainly appreciate that thought. I don't think they need a 10-game winning streak, but what I do think is they need to, if they can consistently win series and get a sweep every once in a while, if you're winning two out of three, and then can steal a sweep, if you're playing between 600 and 700 baseball between now and the rest of the season. And by the way, that is incredibly challenging to do so. Like, I say that like it's just something that they can easily do. And to put that in perspective, the best team in baseball from a record standpoint is the Los Angeles Dodgers, and their winning percentage is .594. So what I am asking for is for them to essentially for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, for them to play at a level that matches what the best team in baseball from a record standpoint has done all season long. If they can win 6 out of every 10 from here to the end of the season, they're going to be right there. They are going to be right there. But if they fall off at all, the last thing you want, the last thing you can afford at this point is one of those days where you lose and all the other teams that you're chasing win. A day where you lose and the Giants and the Mets and the Braves all win. It feels like one more day like that, and it just looks so incredibly daunting. Even tonight. So, Cardinals entered action today, 5 games out of a wild card spot, right? And they've got 3 teams they got to jump over, the Giants, the Mets, and the Braves, to get into that final wild card spot. Like, on a surface level, that doesn't seem impossible. Doesn't sound easy, but it doesn't seem impossible. So they came in today 5 back. They win this game today. It feels great that they won the game. They won the series. Like, vibes are good right now. But if the Braves beat the Phillies and right now Atlanta has a 3-1 lead in the 7th, you're still 5 back, and it's another day where you didn't really gain ground. So they're not going to win every game from here to the end of the season. So on the days that you lose games, you just have to be really, really hopeful that a bunch of these other teams that you're chasing don't all win on those same days. All the while, you are playing an incredibly challenging schedule. Now, I've been somewhat dismissive of the schedule just because I've watched this team all year long, and it almost feels like it doesn't matter who they're playing because they beat the good teams and they lose to the not-so-good teams. But playing this many good teams day after day after day after day to be in this type of stretch, it's going to be a challenge. It is going to be a challenge for sure. Maybe a little bit of a respite with the Twins this weekend. The Twins, they're a good team, and they're certainly a team that's fighting for a playoff spot. They are in the second wild card position right now when it comes to the American League. But you've got some other really, really challenging teams that are going to be on the schedule moving forward after that. You're going to see the Padres, who are playing some of the best baseball in the National League. You're going to go to New York to take on the Yankees. You've got another series against Milwaukee, this time in Milwaukee. So a really, really tough schedule. And you got to win as many of the games kind of early right now because you don't want to be worn down by what you're facing off against. Let's grab Frederick, who has given us a call. Hey, Frederick, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hi, yes. My question is, do you think the Cardinals will bring up Jordan Walker again and let him play in Chandler Redmond?
No, I appreciate the phone call. I don't think that they're going to bring Jordan Walker up again. We talked about this a little bit earlier. I think they are at a point right now with Jordan Walker where they are going to let him finish out the year at AAA, and they are going to work with him in the offseason to try to help him put his offense in a better spot. You know, something that didn't grab a lot of attention. So John Mozeliak spoke to like the large group of media this past week in a press conference that took place in the Cardinals dugout. But when he got done with that, he did a one-on-one conversation with Mike Claiborne that aired that day on the Cardinals pregame show here on KMOX and across the Cardinals radio network. And something that Mo said to Claibs that I don't think he said in the big group scrum was, they are going to offer once again to Jordan Walker for him to spend the offseason in Jupiter and work with Cardinals coaches on an everyday basis. So what they did was they basically did that this past offseason, but the focus was defense. The focus was so much on making him a better defensive outfielder. And you know what? It worked. It worked. Like he was not good last year. He got better, but he was not good. And he came into the year this year probably a slightly above average defensive outfielder, which, while that might not sound great, when you look at what the starting point was, that was pretty darn fantastic. So the work worked that he put in during the offseason in Jupiter. All these players have their own hitting coaches and places that they go to, and some of it's really good. Like we've talked with the folks from Driveline on this show, and I love what Driveline does. And Nolan Arenado's gone there, and Lars Nootbaar's gone there, and Paul Goldschmidt's has gone there. I'm trying to think of other players who've gone. They've got a lot of major league guys who go in there, and they do really good work. But there are some players who are still going back and working with some high school coach, you know, and not to be. And there are some high school coaches out there that are fantastic hitting coaches and could be doing it at a higher level, but they like what they're at. But there's also some high school coaches that are just that. They're kind of high school baseball coaches, and they work on the same type of stuff that they would work on with a high school kid that maybe doesn't apply as much. Because in high school baseball, you can hit it on the ground over and over and over again. And if you hit it hard, there's a pretty good chance it's getting through. And the fielding on the infield isn't very good. So while that can work at lower levels, you want to drive the ball and lift the ball, certainly. And so the point I'm trying to get to is, so many of these players have their own kind of gurus or their own guys that they work with in the offseason. And some of them are fantastic and some of them are not. And I know Walker's got some people. I don't know anything about the people that he really works with, how good they are, how much they might not be good. Like, I don't know anything. This is not an indictment on his decision of who he works with when it comes to hitting. But when John Mozeliak says to Mike Claiborne, we are going to offer to Jordan Walker to spend the offseason again in Jupiter and work with our guys, Well, what that tells me is that's something he should probably take him up on, because they've got some very specific things that they want him to fix so he can lift the ball and so he can drive the ball. And working with Cardinals instructors is probably the way to go, because at that point they know what he's working on. And again, I think, look, I'm as critical as it, maybe not as critical as anybody, but I can be critical of the Cardinals when talking about them not doing a fantastic job in developing players and things like that. Their track record is not fantastic right now, but I also give credit where credit is due. And as Mo alluded to, you look at the work that Walker put in this past offseason with Cardinals coaches in becoming a better defensive player, and it absolutely worked. So hopefully, yeah, when you're trying to change your swing in the middle of the season, that is as challenging of a thing as exists in this world, because you're going at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you're going into the cage and you're working against a machine or you're taking flips and you know exactly what you're supposed to do to tweak your swing, to change your swing. And then all of a sudden it's 7 o'clock at night. The lights are on. You have live pitching. You want to be competitive. You've got muscle memory going, and you just kind of revert back. Being able to implement what you work on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, at 7 o'clock at night, is one of the most challenging things in the game of baseball. So for Jordan Walker to take this offseason and just work on his hitting when there's nothing to do at 7 o'clock at night, I think that would be a very, very good thing for him. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the program. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up the program again when we get done here at 8 o'clock, so about 6 minutes from now, we are going to head to Chicago for CBS Radio News coverage of the Democratic National Convention. Tonight's the night where Kamala Harris will officially accept the nomination for president for the Democratic Party, so we will have DNC coverage beginning in about 5 minutes from now, so stay tuned for that coming up in just a few moments. This weekend, a big weekend for the Cardinals as they are going to match up against the Minnesota Twins. Man, it would be good if they could win 2 out of 3 in Minnesota against a tough team. But not that this actually matters on August 22nd, because I'm, knock on wood, hopefully, I don't know if there's rain in the forecast in Minneapolis or not. Anytime I see a game being played at Target Field, all that for a while. Let's grab our next voice message. Andy came in via the Odyssey app.
What the Cardinals did the last 2 days is great, but I can't get on board with getting excited about a playoff race unless they go on about a 10-game winning streak.
All right, Andy, certainly appreciate that thought. I don't think they need a 10-game winning streak, but what I do think is they need to, if they can consistently win series and get a sweep every once in a while, if you're winning 2 out of 3, 2 out of 3, and then can steal a sweep, if you're playing between 600 and 700 baseball between now and the rest of the season, and by the way, that is incredibly challenging to do so. Like, I say that like it's just something that they can easily do. And to put that in perspective, the best team in baseball from a record standpoint is the Los Angeles Dodgers, and their winning percentage is .594. So what I am asking for is for them to essentially for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, for them to play at a level that matches what the best team in baseball from a record standpoint has done all season long. If they can win 6 out of every 10 from here to the end of the season, they're going to be right there. They are going to be right there. But if they fall off at all, the last thing you want, the last thing you can afford at this point is one of those days where you lose and all the other teams that you're chasing win. A day where you lose and the Giants and the Mets and the Braves all win. It feels like one more day like that and it just looks so incredibly daunting. Even tonight. So Cardinals entered action today 5 games out of a wild card spot, right? And they've got 3 teams they got to jump over, the Giants, the Mets, and the Braves, to get into that final wild card spot. Like, on a surface level, that doesn't seem impossible. Doesn't sound easy, but it doesn't seem impossible. So they came in today 5 back. They win this game today. It feels great that they won the game. They won the series. Like, vibes are good right now. But if the Braves beat the Phillies, and right now Atlanta has a 3-1 lead in the seventh, you're still five back, and it's another day where you didn't really gain ground. So having, and look, they're not going to win every game from here to the end of the season. So on the days that you lose games, you just have to be really, really hopeful that a bunch of these other teams that you're chasing don't all win on those same days. All the while, you are playing an incredibly challenging schedule. Now, I've been somewhat dismissive of the schedule just because I've watched this team all year long, and it almost feels like it doesn't matter who they're playing because they beat the good teams and they lose to the not-so-good teams. But playing this many good teams day after day after day after day to be in this type of stretch, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge for sure. Maybe a little bit of a respite with the Twins this weekend. The Twins, they're a good team, and they're certainly a team that's fighting for a playoff spot. They are in the second wildcard position right now when it comes to the American League. But you've got some other really, really challenging teams that are going to be on the schedule moving forward after that. You're going to see the Padres, who are playing some of the best baseball in the National League. You're going to go to New York to take on the Yankees. You've got another series against Milwaukee, this time in Milwaukee. So a really, really tough schedule. And you got to win as many of the games kind of early right now because you don't want to be worn down by what you're facing off against. Let's grab Frederick, who has given us a call. Hey, Frederick, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yes. My question is, do you think the Cardinals will bring up Jordan Walker again and let him play in Chandler Redmond?
No, I appreciate the phone call. I don't think that they're going to bring Jordan Walker up again. We talked about this a little bit earlier. I think they are at a point right now with Jordan Walker where they are going to let him finish out the year at AAA, and they are going to work with him in the offseason to try to help him put his offense in a better spot. You know, something that didn't grab a lot of attention. So John Mozeliak spoke to like the large group of media this past week in a press conference that took place in the Cardinals dugout. But when he got done with that, he did a one-on-one conversation with Mike Claiborne that aired that day on the Cardinals pregame show here on KMOX and across the Cardinals radio network. And something that Mo said to Claibs that I don't think he said in the big group scrum was, they are going to offer once again to Jordan Walker for him to spend the offseason in Jupiter and work with Cardinals coaches on an everyday basis. So what they did was they basically did that this past offseason, but the focus was defense. The focus was so much on making him a better defensive outfielder. And you know what? It worked. It worked. Like he was not good last year. He got better, but he was not good. And he came into the year this year probably a slightly above average defensive outfielder, which, while that might not sound great, when you look at what the starting point was, that was pretty darn fantastic. So the work worked that he put in during the offseason in Jupiter. All these players have their own hitting coaches and places that they go to, and some of it's really good. Like we've talked with the folks from Driveline on this show, and I love what Driveline does. And Nolan Arenado's gone there, and Lars Nootbaar's gone there, and Paul Goldschmidt's gone there. I'm trying to think of other players who've gone. They've got a lot of major league guys who go in there, and they do really good work. But there are some players who are still going back and working with some high school coach, you know, and not to be. And there are some high school coaches out there that are fantastic hitting coaches and could be doing it at a higher level, but they like what they're at. But there's also some high school coaches that are just that. They're kind of high school baseball coaches, and they work on the same type of stuff that they would work on with a high school kid that maybe doesn't apply as much. Because in high school baseball, you can hit it on the ground over and over and over again. And if you hit it hard, there's a pretty good chance it's getting through. And the fielding on the infield isn't very good. So while that can work at lower levels, you want to drive the ball and lift the ball, certainly. And so the point I'm trying to get to is, so many of these players have their own kind of gurus or their own guys that they work with in the offseason. And some of them are fantastic and some of them are not. And I know Walker's got some people. I don't know anything about the people that he really works with, how good they are, how much they might not be good. Like, I don't know anything. This is not an indictment on his decision of who he works with when it comes to hitting. But when John Mozeliak says to Mike Claiborne, we are going to offer to Jordan Walker to spend the offseason again in Jupiter and work with our guys, well, what that tells me is that's something he should probably take him up on, because they've got some very specific things that they want him to fix so he can lift the ball and so he can drive the ball. And working with Cardinals instructors is probably the way to go, because at that point they know what he's working on. And again, I think, look, I'm as critical as, maybe not as critical as anybody, but I can be critical of the Cardinals when talking about them not doing a fantastic job in developing players and things like that. Their track record is not fantastic right now, but I also give credit where credit is due. And as Mo alluded to, you look at the work that Walker put in this past offseason with Cardinals coaches in becoming a better defensive player, and it absolutely worked. So hopefully, yeah, when you're trying to change your swing in the middle of the season, that is as challenging of a thing as exists in this world, because you're going at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you're going into the cage and you're working against a machine or you're taking flips and you know exactly what you're supposed to do to tweak your swing, to change your swing. And then all of a sudden it's 7 o'clock at night. The lights are on, you have live pitching, you want to be competitive, you've got muscle memory going, and you just kind of revert back. Being able to implement what you work on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, at 7 o'clock at night, is one of the most challenging things in the game of baseball. So for Jordan Walker to take this offseason and just work on his hitting when there's nothing to do at 7 o'clock at night, I think that would be a very, very good thing for him. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the program. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up the program again when we get done here at 8 o'clock, so about 6 minutes from now, we are going to head to Chicago for CBS Radio News coverage of the Democratic National Convention. Tonight's the night where Kamala Harris will officially accept the nomination for president for the Democratic Party, so we will have DNC coverage beginning in about 5 minutes from now, so stay tuned for that coming up in just a few moments. This weekend, a big weekend for the Cardinals as they are going to match up against the Minnesota Twins. Man, it would be good if they could win 2 out of 3 in Minnesota against a tough team. But not that this actually matters on August 22nd, because I'm, knock on wood, hopefully, I don't know if there's rain in the forecast in Minneapolis or not. Anytime I see a game being played at Target Field, all I can think to myself is, how in the world did they build that ballpark and not put some sort of roof on it? And admittedly, I spent 6-7 years working in Milwaukee, where the Brewers do have a roof. And but when you're up, it's not even for this time of the year. Like, it's nice to avoid rainouts, but it's so cold there at the beginning of the season. That'd be the one, and maybe that's sacrilege to people in St. Louis, because I mean, I would never want the Cardinals to build a ballpark with a roof on it. I love the ballpark. I love the open air. But this is St. Louis. Baseball is very, it's got a very special place here. Like, I don't feel it's the same way in Minneapolis and in the Twin Cities. So that's my hot take. Is it my cold take? That's my take, because every time I see a game being played at Target Field, as nice as that ballpark looks, all I can think to myself is, man, did they make a mistake? Because it's going to happen this year if they're in the playoffs, and they're in a playoff spot right now. They're going to have a snow out, or they're going to have a game that's just freezing cold, and you're thinking to yourself, man, they really, really should have put some sort of roof on the ballpark. 7:10 first pitch tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow is an Apple TV game, so if you don't have Apple TV, you got to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow for Cardinals coverage, 6:15 here on KMOX.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.